What if I told you that a long, long time ago, nobody had ever heard of the Easter Bunny? Not a single person. There were no chocolate rabbits in stores, no bunny decorations, and definitely no stories about a magical rabbit hopping around delivering eggs. So here's our mystery question for today. How did we get from having no Easter Bunny at all to having this famous springtime character that almost everyone knows about? Hello, explorers, and welcome back to Faithfully Explore. I'm Laura, and I'm so thrilled you zipped up your belief backpack and joined me today. By the end of this podcast, you'll know how the Easter Bunny came to be. Take a deep breath, smell that fresh spring air, and let's faithfully explore together. Close your eyes for just a moment and travel back in time with me. We're going way, way back. Long before your grandparents were born, before their grandparents were born, even before cars or airplanes existed. Imagine you're living in a time when people didn't have grocery stores or central heating. During winter, everything felt hard. The days were short and dark. The ground was frozen solid like a giant ice cube. Snow covered everything in sight. Food was scarce, which meant families had to be very careful about what they ate and how much. For people living back then, winter could feel scary. Sometimes they wondered if spring would ever come again. Then something magical would start to happen. The sun would climb a little higher in the sky each day. The air would get just a tiny bit warmer, and one morning people would notice something incredible, the very first signs of spring. The trees would start to bud with tiny green leaves. Birds who had flown south for winter would return, filling the air with cheerful songs. And all around, baby animals would be born. Fuzzy little lambs, chirping chicks, and tiny baby rabbits. For ancient people living thousands of years ago, all across the world, from Europe to Asia to Africa, spring wasn't just a nice change in weather. It felt like a miracle. It felt like the whole world was being reborn, coming back to life after what seemed like death. Do you know which animal became one of the most famous symbols of this springtime rebirth? If you said rabbits, you were exactly right. But let me ask you this, why rabbits? What makes them so special for spring? Clue one, a mother rabbit can have babies multiple times each year. Not just once like many animals, but several times. And each time she has babies, she might have anywhere from 4 to 12 little bunnies at once. That's a lot of babies. Clue two, baby rabbits grow incredibly fast. In just a few months, a tiny bunny can become a full-grown rabbit. Clue three. In springtime, if you went walking through fields and forests long ago, you would see rabbits everywhere. They would hop through meadows, nibble on the new grass, and dart between bushes. So when you put all these clues together, what do they tell you? Rabbits meant life, and lots of it. They had many babies. Those babies grew quickly, and they were everywhere in spring. For people who had just survived a long, hard winter, seeing all those rabbits felt like hope. It reminded them that life is strong, that it keeps going, that new beginnings are possible. For thousands of years, people all over the world saw rabbits as special symbols of new life. Fresh beginnings, and hope after darkness. They weren't Easter bunnies yet. They were just powerful springtime symbols that helped people celebrate surviving another winter. All right, explorers, it's time to get our bodies moving. First, curl up as small as you can on the floor. Pretend you're a tiny seed buried deep, deep underground in the frozen winter soil. Make yourself really small. Feel how cold and dark it is down there. Everything is sleeping. You're waiting, waiting, waiting for something to change. Now the sun is starting to warm the earth above you. You can feel a tiny bit of warmth beginning to reach down to where you are. Start to wiggle just a little bit. The ice around you is starting to melt. The warmth grows stronger. You begin to push upward very slowly. Push through that heavy soil. It's hard work. Keep pushing. Keep reaching up toward where you sense that light and warmth are waiting. Suddenly, you break through. Your first tiny leaf touches the air. Stand up slowly and reach your arms up high like you're a little sprout reaching for the sun. Now you're growing taller, getting stronger. The sun is shining on you. You grow another leaf, then another. Stretch your arms out wide. And finally, you burst into bloom. Jump up high and spread your arms as wide as you can, like you're a beautiful flower opening its petals to warm spring. Now let's add the rabbits. Hop around the room like a happy bunny who just woke up after winter. Hop, hop, hop. Springtime is here. Life is back. Everything feels possible again. That's exactly how people felt when spring returned each year. They felt like the whole world was celebrating, and rabbits were hopping right alongside them in that celebration. Now, we're going to jump forward in time and travel to a specific place. Germany, about 400 years ago in the 1600s and 1700s. In Germany, children grew up hearing a story their parents had heard, and their grandparents had heard, and their great-grandparents had heard. It was a story about a very special, very magical hare called the Osterhase, which in German means Easter hare. According to the tale, the Osterhase could lay eggs. But rabbits don't lay eggs. In real life, this would be impossible. But here's something important to understand about folk tales and traditions. They're not claiming that rabbits actually lay eggs in the real world. Instead, they're using imagination and symbols to tell a deeper story. Let me explain it this way. When ancient people wanted to celebrate everything wonderful about spring, they thought about the two most powerful symbols of new life they knew. Rabbits, because they have so many babies, and eggs, because new life hatches from them. Someone somewhere in Germany had a creative idea. What if we combined these two symbols into one magical story? And that's how the egg-laying hare was born. Let me tell you what German children would do long ago. On the night before Easter Sunday, children in these German villages would get very excited. They would gather materials like straw, dried grass, hay, and soft leaves. With their little hands, they would carefully weave these materials together to create small nests, just like the nests that birds make. These children would put their nests in special places, by the window, in the garden, or in a secret spot they'd chosen. Then they'd go to bed, wondering and hoping, will the Osterhase visit me tonight? Will I be good enough? Will he find my nest? In the morning, children would wake up early, just as the sun was rising, and they'd race to check their nests. And there, tucked inside, would be beautiful colored eggs. Now here's where our story takes a very important turn. One that explains how the Osterhase became the Easter Bunny. In the 1700s, things were hard in many parts of Germany. Some people didn't have enough food. Some faced religious persecution, which means they weren't allowed to worship the way they wanted. And some simply dreamed of a better life with more opportunities. These people made an incredibly brave decision. They would leave everything they knew, their homes, their villages, sometimes even their relatives, and sail across the enormous Atlantic Ocean to start new lives in America. This wasn't an easy journey. It took weeks on a crowded ship, sailing across dangerous waters. Families had to pack very carefully because they could only bring what would fit in a few bags or trunks. They couldn't bring their furniture or most of their belongings. but do you know what they could bring? Their stories, their traditions, their memories. Many of these German families settled in Pennsylvania, where they built new villages and farms. They worked hard to create homes in this new land. And when spring came to Pennsylvania, just like it had in Germany, these families wanted to celebrate. They wanted their children to feel the same joy and excitement that they had felt as children. So they kept telling the story of the Osterhase. They kept the tradition of making nests and finding eggs. But something interesting started happening over time. You see, traditions don't stay exactly the same forever. They grow and change as they meet new people and new places. In America, the Osterhase story began to change bit by bit, year by year, generation by generation. The simple nests made of straw gradually turned into woven baskets. These baskets got bigger and bigger over time. Real colored eggs were still the main treat, but gradually, as candy became more available and popular, families started adding candy eggs to the basket. The German word Osterhase, which Americans found really hard to say, slowly changed. People started calling him the Easter Hare in English. Eventually, he became the Easter Rabbit, and finally, the Easter Bunny. That name was easier to say, cuter, and more friendly sounding. The idea that he could lay eggs didn't disappear. It became part of the magic. Even though everyone knew it didn't make sense scientifically, it became part of the fun and the wonder of the tradition. We've talked a lot about rabbits, but now we need to solve another piece of our mystery. Why eggs? What makes eggs so special that they became such an important part of Easter celebrations? Christians believe that Jesus Christ died on a Friday, which they call Good Friday. This was an incredibly sad day for his followers because they loved him and believed he was the Son of God. His body was placed in a tomb, a cave carved into rock, and a huge stone was rolled in front of the entrance to seal it. But Christians believe something amazing happened on Sunday morning, which they call Easter Sunday. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that he came back to life in a new, transformed way. This is called the resurrection, which means rising again. For Christians, this resurrection is the most important event in their entire faith. It shows them that death is not the end, that life is more powerful than death, that hope can come even after the darkest, saddest moments, and that new beginnings are always possible, no matter how impossible they might seem. So when Christians started celebrating Easter, they looked for symbols that could help them remember and express these beautiful ideas about new life and hope conquering death. And what symbol could be more perfect than an egg? Just like how an egg looks lifeless on the outside, but holds new life inside, Christians saw the tomb as looking like death on the outside, but actually containing the promise of new life. Just like how a chick breaks through its shell to enter the world, Christians believe Jesus broke free from death to bring new life to all people. Now here's another interesting part of the egg story that helps explain why eggs and Easter became so connected. Long ago in Europe, during the 40 days before Easter, which are called Lent, many Christians would fast, which means they would give up certain foods as a way of focusing on their faith and preparing their hearts for Easter. One of the foods they gave up was eggs. Can you imagine not eating eggs for 40 whole days? No eggs for breakfast, no eggs in baking, no eggs at all. This meant that during those 40 days, chickens kept laying eggs, but people weren't eating them. The eggs piled up and needed to be preserved or stored somehow. So when Easter finally arrived, families had lots and lots of eggs to celebrate with. People got creative. They would hard-boil the eggs to make them last longer. They would decorate them with bright colors made from plants, flowers, and vegetables. They would give them as gifts to friends and neighbors. They would roll them down hills in games. They would eat them in special Easter meals. The eggs became a way to celebrate the end of fasting and the arrival of Easter joy. The tradition of decorating eggs spread all across Europe, with each country and region developing its own special styles and techniques. Now, let's talk about chocolate. For most of human history, chocolate was a rare and expensive luxury that ordinary people almost never got to taste. It came from cacao beans that grew far away in Central and South America, and it took a lot of work to turn those beans into chocolate. But in the 1800s, some clever chocolate makers in Europe figured out new techniques for making chocolate more easily and cheaply. Companies opened that could produce chocolate in large quantities. Chocolate bars, chocolate candies, and chocolate treats became more affordable, and more people could buy them. These chocolate companies were always looking for new ideas, new shapes, and new products that people would want to buy, especially for holidays. Someone somewhere had a brilliant business idea. What if we made chocolate in the shape of the Easter symbol that everyone already knows? The rabbit. The first chocolate Easter bunnies were simple, not very detailed, and quite expensive compared to what we have now. But people loved them. As chocolate making techniques got better and better, the chocolate bunnies became more elaborate. They got bigger, more detailed, and sometimes they were even hollow inside, which made them easier to eat and less expensive to make. Companies competed to make the most appealing bunnies, wrapping them in colorful foil, giving them ribbon bows, and displaying them in store windows that made children stop and stare with wide eyes. Now, I want to be honest with you about something. Part of the reason the Easter Bunny became so famous and so connected with baskets full of candy is because companies realized they could make money from it. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's important to understand. Candy companies, toy companies, card companies, and stores wanted people to buy their products. So they advertised Easter bunnies, Easter baskets, Easter candy, Easter decorations, and Easter gifts everywhere. In newspapers, in magazines, on television, and later on the internet. They created Easter sales, Easter displays, and Easter traditions that involved buying things. They made it feel like having a big Easter basket full of lots of candy and toys was what Easter was supposed to be about. This commercialization, which means making something into a business opportunity, helped spread the Easter Bunny tradition far and wide. Almost everyone in America learned about the Easter Bunny because they saw him in stores and on advertisements. But it also changed the tradition in some ways, making it more about getting stuff and less about the original meanings of spring, new life, and hope. Let's do a thinking exercise. I'm going to describe some Easter activities, and I want you to think about whether each one is more about the original tradition and meaning, or more about buying things. Activity 1, coloring eggs with your family, then hiding them for an egg hunt. Think about it. Does this focus more on spending time together and connecting with the old tradition, or on buying products? Activity 2, going to a store and buying a giant pre-made Easter basket with a huge chocolate bunny, lots of candy, and several toys. Activity 3, attending an Easter sunrise service at a church and thinking about hope and new life. Activity 4, making paper Easter decorations with your family to hang around your house. Activity 5, watching an Easter bunny movie while eating Easter candy from the store. Did you notice that some activities focus more on family time, creativity, and meaning, while others focus more on buying and consuming products? Neither is bad, but it's good to notice the difference and think about what feels most meaningful to you and your family.
Konnichiwa. Hola.
Bonjour.
Let's cross our friendship bridge. Around the world, there are millions of families, and each one celebrates Easter in their own special way. Let me tell you about a few different approaches, and as I do, I want you to practice something called empathy, which means trying to understand and appreciate how others feel and what matters to them. Family One. The Johnson family wakes up early on Easter Sunday morning to attend a sunrise church service. They wear their nicest clothes, sing hymns about Jesus' resurrection, and listen to Bible stories. Afterward, they have a big Easter brunch together where they talk about their faith and what Easter means to them. They have a small egg hunt for their children, but the focus of their day is on their religious beliefs and spending time together as a family. Family 2. The Martinez family doesn't go to church, but they love celebrating Easter as a cultural spring tradition. They dye eggs together on Saturday, telling stories about when the parents were kids and did the same thing with their parents. On Easter Sunday, they hide the eggs around the yard and have a big egg hunt. The Easter Bunny leaves baskets for each child. They have a special meal together and talk about how happy they are that spring has arrived and that they get to celebrate new beginnings. Family 3. The Cohen family is Jewish, not Christian, so they don't celebrate Easter at all. But in the spring, they celebrate Passover, which is a different holiday with its own deep history and meaning. They have a special meal called a Seder where they read stories, eat symbolic foods, and remember when their ancestors were freed from slavery in Egypt long ago. Now, here's the important question. Are any of these families wrong? No, they're all right because they're celebrating in ways that are meaningful and authentic to them, their beliefs, and their values. This is what the Friendship Bridge teaches us. We can understand and appreciate that different people celebrate differently without judging them or thinking our way is the only right way. We can be curious about what others do while still feeling confident and happy about what we do. What's inside our belief backpack this week? Number 1, traditions grow. Traditions don't just appear out of nowhere like magic. They grow slowly over long periods of time, layer by layer. The Easter Bunny tradition we know today is actually hundreds of years old, with roots that go back even thousands of years to ancient spring celebrations. Understanding this helps us appreciate that the tradition we have today were shaped by real people in real places, making real choices about how to celebrate what mattered to them. Number 2, symbols have power. Rabbits weren't chosen randomly to represent Easter. They were already powerful symbols of new life because of their connection to spring and their ability to have many babies. Eggs were already symbols of life hidden inside something that looks plain or lifeless. When we understand why these symbols were chosen, they mean more to us. Number 3, immigration shapes culture. The Easter Bunny came to America because brave German families immigrated here in the 1700s, bringing their stories and traditions with them. This teaches us something important. Many of the traditions we think of as American actually came from somewhere else. Our country is like a big quilt made of patches from all over the world, each one adding its own colors and patterns. Take a moment to really imagine packing each of these items carefully into your belief backpack. Feel the weight of all this knowledge and understanding you're carrying with you now. You started today wondering how we got the Easter Bunny, and now you know the real story with all its layers and complexities. We've traveled through thousands of years of history today, from ancient spring festivals to modern chocolate shops. We've crossed oceans with immigrant families and watched traditions transform. Keep your belief backpack full of curiosity about where things come from and why they matter. Keep building friendship bridges by respecting that different people celebrate differently, and all of those ways can be right. Keep asking why and how about the traditions and celebrations you encounter. Until next time, explorers, stay curious, stay kind, and keep exploring that wonderful world around you. Explore.